Hi, and welcome to the Wealthy Travel Agent Podcast, where our mission is to bring you inspiring messages from people just like you who are succeeding selling travel and to help you become the wealthy travel agent. I'm your host, Dan Chappelle, the leading authority on selling and sales management in the travel industry and the author of the best-selling Amazon book, Get Your Ship Together, The Wealthy Travel Agent Guide to Sales. It's available internationally on Amazon and also for those of you who prefer audiobooks on audible.com. You can learn more about my sales and business development programs and how they can help you to become the wealthy travel agent at danchappelle.com. Today, I'd like to welcome Esti Gabe of Luxurious Travel in La Jolla, California. Esti, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We're so happy that you came to join us here. Let's talk a little bit about your personal story.
Sure.
And how you got into travel. What drew you into travel in the first place, and what are you doing?
Well, my family has always been big travelers. It's been a really important part of the memory making that we've had with our kids. So we've traveled with them early and often. They're now 17 and 20. And I think a lot of how they've developed as, you know, brave go-getters comes from the trips that we've taken and the type of activities we've done. So when it was time to pick a new path for me, since the girls were doing good, I thought travel was a perfect business.
Okay, fantastic. So that brought you into the business. And how'd you get started?
Well, actually, the first thing I did, I was at a Montage hotel, a resort, and that I'd been to about 10 times. And I went to the front desk and I said, this has nothing to do with starting travel. It was like a year before. But I said, how do you get an upgrade around here? And I've never gotten an upgrade. And the front desk person said, you need to have a Virtuoso travel agent. And so I wrote that down on a post-it and I had it on my desk. And like a year later, when I was thinking about getting into travel, that was the first place I went. So I went onto the Virtuoso site and I started learning about the host agencies that were part of Virtuoso.
Fantastic. And that's what drew you in. So you were already, you specialize in luxury travel, obviously, and you were drawn into that because that's the way you like to travel.
And that's the way to make money.
And that's the way to make money. I love that. So what's that one of the best pieces of advice that you received when you first got into the business and that you are applying regularly to your business practices?
Yeah, and I think this is sometimes hard for new people. And let me just say, I've only been in the business 2 years, but the amount of progression that I've had over the 2 years has been swift and fast, and things are going fantastic. And I think a part of that is early on, even when you're new, knowing your worth. Because you need to know when to move on when appropriate. In the beginning, you say, I'll take any neighbor or friend or parent or whoever wants to buy travel from me because it's good practice. Sometimes it's not good practice. Sometimes you're practicing a bad way to build business.
Right.
So for instance, like to do a planning fee. A lot of people don't, and I didn't do it probably for the first year either, because I was nervous and I didn't know I was, you know, if I was worth it, and I knew people would say no. And I didn't have any business. I wanted any business that was coming my way. But now I'm more particular and I really qualify my clients, not even just with the planning fee, but with some good questions to make sure they're the kind of person I want to work with.
And so in 2 years, you've gone from basically brand new startup agent to a six-figure advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fantastic. Now, do you specialize more in, let's talk about niche here a little bit.
Sure.
And why that's important and how that could set you apart from your competition. What's the,
sure.
Do you have a niche?
I do. In the luxury realm, I do have a niche. Because I have a background before that in doing mastermind groups and workshops and retreats, I have two niches. I have one that I work with other coaches, like business coaches and retreat coaches. I help them and I volunteer this information for free. And I kind of guide them on how to put a retreat or a business trip in their mastermind package. So that way it gets paid for and it's all set up a year in advance. So that benefits both of us. So that's one niche. The other niche that kind of works also with my skill set, since I have that kind of coaching background myself, is I work with families setting up their entire bucket list of travel. So it's kind of like coaching them and dream building with them. And that's through something called Virtuoso Wanderlist, which just started about a year ago. It's still new. I'm still kind of, figuring out how it works as far as, actually getting clients to use it. but it's changed the way I think about my business, and it's changed my travel talk to be more about like setting goals for travel and why travel is important and what you want out of your travel, not just what destination is hot right now, but what do you want to experience and where, what destination matches the experience you want to have.
Yeah, I think that's an untapped area that that people don't really think that about is, you know, planning your travel down the line. Mm-hmm. Cause just like financial planning, you're planning for how to pay your bills in your future and taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. That should be part of your overall plan. Travel should be as part of that as well. Cause when you have exactly. the time and the money, you do want to travel, and being able to budget and set that list up. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great program that's out there. It's definitely helped open up the eyes of people for their long-term planning for their travel needs.
Yeah.
And they definitely need people like you. Let's talk more about your niche though, about helping the, you know, coaches and that kind of thing. Cause I think that's pretty cool because, you know, obviously I'm in business coaching, and I see a mm-hmm. lot of other coaches, not in our industry per se, but mm-hmm. outside of it, that put on events and stuff like that. So how do you help them put together those events and the destinations, and you know, is it a one-stop shop? You do everything for them, or how do you work together with them on that?
Yeah. So first thing I did, this was years ago when I was doing retreats, is I took a retreat planning course that showed me how to market my own retreats and plan retreats. So I know how to do it from that point of view.
Uh-huh.
I took some of their material and the way that they set up their business to set up retreats for other people. And I set up a page on my website like that. So I have like a 20-minute free consultation. Then I have a 3 different packages, which is the amount of, you know, effort and time and everything that I put into planning their retreat for them. So that's all on there. And I have to be honest, I don't know if anybody's reading it, because every time I talk to them, they don't read it. So they don't know. So I end up just telling them over the phone what my process is. But typically what I do is when I connect with someone that's a coach, like I said earlier, I sit down with them or in person, or I talk to them over the phone, or even sometimes over Facebook. And we just talk about, you know, what their plan is for their business, what their business looks like now, and how valuable it would be to have a group trip in their package. So for instance, there is, and I try to shoot for coaches that are starting to build their business and it's just starting to take off. Cause if they already have a big business, they don't seem to want or need me. Right. And I've talked to a lot of people that are not ready yet, but they will be ready in a few years, and they will know I'm the only person that does this. And I gave them all this free help in the beginning. Right. But there's like one client now, he has 3 mastermind groups going at $10,000 a piece. And so that's 30 people that he has mastermind groups with. Right. And he's been doing that, and he's been doing kind of like, you know, the Bali retreats, you know, very low end kind of stuff. But the next set of masterminds that he wants to do, he wants to bring it to the next level and make it, you know, 10xing your income, making more money, and he wants a more luxury retreat. So I've positioned myself with him over the last year, giving him advice on his mastermind group so that he puts the retreat in there. So when he's ready to do it, I'm the person he'll use.
Yeah. And you're in the hotbed of
coaches
in Southern California, the Loyola area, yes. Near San Diego. And so a lot of the name brand coaches that you would see on the internet, on TV and everything else,
yeah.
Residents down there. And so there's a great opportunity. But yeah. What I love,
but those aren't my main customers though, Dan. Those customers don't need me. They have people on staff and they already have, you know, work, they've worked out with, you know, event planners and other people to do their retreets. So that's not my
You're looking for the up and coming guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So what I love about this is, you know, we talk about, okay, different niches, everybody. Okay. So, you know, a luxury niche or a group niche or whatever. So you've taken that luxury and group niche mm-hmm. and drilled it down to a very specific target audience that you're working with. And that's really, I think, you know, to truly succeed is to specialize in areas like that. And I think you're doing really well with that. And I appreciate you sharing that with us. Are you just sitting out there by yourself? You're part of a host agency, consortia? You've mentioned Virtuoso, but.
Yeah, so I have a host agency. It's a large one. But what's great about them is they're also local. They have a local office here in La Jolla.
Okay.
So for me, I'm an extrovert. I really like going to the office for their kind of, you know, their lunch and learns and meeting all the vendors. Last night I went to a big vendor luncheon and it was so much fun, and I made some great contacts and I learned a lot. So for me, it's important to get out there and you know, use those luncheons and those activities at the office to keep motivated.
Okay, cool. So that's kind of an industry kind of thing. So what do you do to kind of help keep that sales funnel full from a marketing perspective? I'm all about prospecting, and so yep. What do you do to kind of fill that in to make sure you have a steady stream of clients? Because you've gone from zero to, you know, six figures in a very short period of time. And I know our listeners would love to hear about that.
Yeah, I probably prospect too much. Like I enjoy getting
there's no
out
such thing as prospecting too much.
I don't know. I'm just like, I got to sit down and start booking some travel instead of going to all these, you know, events all the time. I'm like, what's the next event, you know? And I know it's good, but you know, you also have to sit down and make some money, right?
Right.
But a couple of things that I do that I really highly recommend. I've learned this over 10 years of being in different businesses. I don't go to those networking events where everybody is out for themselves throwing business cards at people.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. You have to go where your clients are. That's one way. So going where my luxury clients are, or where the like mastermind leaders are. Like I hosted an event at my house last year for a mastermind group of business coaches. I had 100 coaches in my living room. It was fantastic. And I'm still getting leads from that. That's where I got that lead I just mentioned to you actually a year ago. Another one that I think is really good is joining the kind of networking groups. And there's three or four of them that I know of just here in San Diego alone, different groups that meet weekly and refer each other to each other as part of the program.
Is that like BNI?
BNI, there's another one called Lead. There's LATIP. There's a few actually that do this. And I think that's the key, is that everyone, there's a pressure in the group to come in with referrals each week, right? And so they call it the giver's gain.
Yeah.
The more that you give, the more you gain. And it's a totally different networking environment than the other ones that I did over the years, where I was just like, everybody wanted me as a customer.
Right. I think it's kind of like, when you're looking for a job, your job is to find a job.
Yeah.
And that's same. Yeah. What it sounds like is your job is to bring in leads that are going to benefit other people, and they're going to do the same for you. And that's really what good networking is all about. It's not.
And you have to work it. It's called networking. You have to work it.
Yeah, you can't just show up, hand out business cards, and expect them to come. In fact, my experience with that is you do that, and typically, you know, anybody selling insurance, real estate, whatever, that's who's going to, they're all going to call you. They're going to try to sell you something instead of trying to help. Mm-hmm.
And if you go in so, for instance, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
If you're going with a helping attitude, then that's a tremendous.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. So for instance, I joined this new BNI group in November, and in both December and January, I was the top referrer by far in the group. Okay, so that was one. So everybody saw, you know, they gave me like a little plaque and everything. You know, they saw that I was giving, right? The other thing I did was I made a goal in, and I told the group, my goal is to bring in 3 referrals each week for you guys. And so now the other people in the group are doing that too. So some of the people that might have gotten a little complacent in that group that have been in there for 10, 15 years are now starting to see me, the newbie, like doing everything by the book and going for it and, you know, doing everything you're supposed to do to make the business work. So it's paying off, and it takes a little time. They need to get to know me too.
Right.
But I can't just sit there and wait for them to refer me.
No, you can't. And what I love about this is it's, as you know, and most of our listeners know, I'm a huge fan of the story called Acres of Diamonds. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you're spending, you know, you haven't described any marketing that you've done. So it sounds like most of what you're doing is actually mining, you know, the diamonds that are right in your backyard.
Yes.
As opposed to trying to go out on the internet and try and find, you know, cold prospects, you're going out there and really working the warm leads that are coming in. And
face to face.
Yeah. And that makes a huge difference. And I think that's probably a key reason why you went from zero to six figures in a very short period of time. So, you know, do you have any suggestions or recommendations or anything to our listeners about, you know, how they can get their mindset around selling and prospecting and, you know, because we're trained as an industry that marketing is the key, and marketing, you know, to me, marketing is like fishing. You put it out there and you wait for somebody to buy. Whereas prospecting is a proactive process. What kind of advice would you give to our listeners about how they can get their mind around that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important to be part of a community that's doing the same thing you're doing. Like, for instance, I'm part of your group, your mastermind group, and I recommend that to all of you as well, because we're there and we're keeping each other accountable. We're meeting once a month in the mastermind group. We're online. We're asking each other questions. We're all watching each other do it. So we're not alone. And it just makes it more motivating to keep going.
Yeah. And for our listeners, just I did not ask or expect a commercial out of this, but if you'd like to join, go to wealthytravelagent.com and there's a form you can fill out to apply. Let's see, what else do we have? Let's talk about, you know, failure. Let's talk about setbacks.
Okay.
Let's talk about gut punches, because you know, all we hear about is the successes all the time. What we don't see is, you know, the rest of the iceberg below the water that it took you to get there. Tell me about some of the, let's talk about some of the setbacks you may have had, or gut punches mm-hmm. you may have had that you've experienced along the way.
Okay, well, yeah, there are a few. I think whenever you push forward and you're a go-getter, there's going to be failures along the way. And you just have to know that's part of it. And you also have to know, if you're a winner, there's going to be losers who are going to step on your toes and not like what you're doing, right? So for an example, I joined a very popular host agency at first, and then there was a sub-agency below that, right? So there was two women in the sub-agency who were running it when I started. And I couldn't get in touch with them those first 2 weeks when I was new. And I wasn't getting a lot of information, like good, honest information on getting started. And I had a lot of questions. And they fired me in 2 weeks. Totally like, let me go. They're like, you're not a good match. You're too difficult, you know, whatever. And the truth was, they didn't have time for me, you know, but I could have taken that as it was something that I did. Yeah. But it wasn't, you know, and then, so I, you know, I moved on. I found another host agency, and I have to be honest, the other host agency probably thinks I'm a pain in the neck too, because I do, I ask a lot of questions. I run out of the gate like a horse on a racetrack, sometimes without knowing what I'm doing. And, you know, I allow myself the ability to make mistakes and apologize for them later. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it happens, you know? Yeah. So there's been a couple of times where, like, you know, I've gotten in trouble, you know, with my host, because I've done something that maybe wasn't part of, you know, how they do things. So I'm learning now. I'm learning, but there's a lot of things you have to learn in the business. So you're going to make some mistakes. It's okay, as long as you're moving forward and you have momentum.
Exactly. And you know, and that brings up a good point. You know, a host agency's, the role of a host agency is to support you, not you to support them. So if they're not, the host agency that you're working with, or the consortia or whatever, is not supporting your business goals, your mission, you know, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to find another one that will do what you want to do. You know, a lot of people are going to kick you, and you mentioned this earlier, because, you know, you are successful. You know, people get jealous. They don't want a lot. I hate to say this, but I've seen this a lot. People don't want to see you succeed too quickly. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me, as far, you know, from a sales perspective. Hey, you put numbers up on the board, everybody wins. But yeah. I have seen it kind of, as you mentioned, it's not the way they do business. If that's not the way, it's not working for them and it's not working for you, it's time to move on. But now, you're always going to have disagreements. No question about that. So yeah. it's you have to weigh that out. But the reality of it is, you know, if you're, let's say in your case, if you're focused on luxury travel, which you are, and certain group aspects of it, you know, you're not going to be a part of a host agency that is primarily mass market and doesn't support your goals there. And that's, I think that's something our listeners can, you know, kind of take.
Yeah.
We all get into the, I see this a lot too. You know, people new to the business, like you didn't have a travel background. You came in new to the business and you joined you did some research. Most people, you probably did more than most people do. Mm-hmm. And you joined a host agency and found that it probably wasn't as great of a fit, because in your case, they didn't have time for you. And others, you know, it may not support the goals that you have. Mm-hmm. And then, you move on to the next one. My advice is find one that works for you. Don't hop around a lot, but find one that works for you and stick with it for a while. And because it is a, it's a relationship and it's a, it's, it needs to be a win-win and all that kind of stuff. So, so, you know, you're 2 years into this. How do you, you know, do you plan to grow? How big do you want to get? Scale your business?
I do. And I want to say something else about what you said, because it reminded me of something that you said in your program, in your modules. You said, this business is a lot like the real estate business. You are your own boss. You are your own company. You need to market your business. And so I took that advice, and right away I had my own business name, my own website. I got an LLC, and I had business cards and everything in my name. I did not use the host agency email name. And it's important, because if I had done that and I had to switch, you know, then everybody would have the wrong information for me. My information wouldn't follow. So because I have Luxurious Travel, and that's my, you know, my email is sd@luxuriestravel.com. No matter what host agency I go to, or no matter how big my business gets, that could be the name on my, you know, on my front storefront if I need to.
Right, right.
So it's important that you own it.
Exactly. And, you know, to kind of elaborate on what you were saying about the real estate model is, you know, folks, what a lot of, you know, think about real estate agents that you see. The brand is the agent. They are the brand. The host, the equivalent of the host agency is the broker. So Keller Williams or Coldwell Banker or whatever, that's the broker. So your business cards, anything that you put out there should be all about you and then supported by or part of whatever, you know, host agency or consortium that you're a part of. Some host agencies are part of Virtuoso. Virtuoso is a well-known brand amongst consumers. So you tend to see that branded a lot, but there are others that like to stay behind, you know, in the background. And so you find the one that works best for you there. So as you're growing your business and get that going, what are three things that you wish you'd known before you started in here?
One of the things that I did already know, but I think is worth repeating to other people, is that your business is going to take 2 to 3 years to ramp up.
Yep.
And prepare for that. Don't quit your job right off the bat. Don't expect to pay your rent or your mortgage on the money. Just expect it to take 2 to 3 years. And if you do that, the business will come. Your people that know you know that you've just started. You know, they're going to wait and see if you stick with it, if you're successful. So do stick with it for 2 to 3 years and have that expectation. So that's the number one, I think it's important tip. The other thing that I got from you also that was really important for me, because I like balance a lot of different plates and I'm like constantly doing 6 projects at once, is to prioritize your power hour. You call it your golden hour, right? That hour where you're making your phone calls to your prospects is where you're going to make money. So you can get so busy, like listening to webinars. You could spend, you know, 24/7 just listening to webinars. Put the webinar aside and make some phone calls and then listen to the webinar. So that's huge for me. And then the other thing that kind of goes along with that is do one project at a time.
Yeah.
You know, don't try to do too many different projects, like set up your website, set up your social media, get a, you know, an email campaign going. Just pick one at a time in order of priority and try to get them done. There'll be some overlap because you'll wait for people to get back to you, and you know, some people are doing stuff and building the website and it takes time and everything, but try to concentrate on one project at a time.
Yeah, Tom and Joni Ogg have a great series of books about starting a home-based travel agency that kind of gives you that checklist that kind of walks you through the beginning stages, because you have to walk before you run. And I see a lot of folks jumping into this and running and trying to run, and then they get tripped up and then they get caught up in a bunch of other stuff. So, you know, building the business, it's the priority is to start selling right away.
Yeah.
Don't focus, you know, don't get so caught up in the operational side or the startup side of it. It is start selling.
Because that will take 2 years.
Yeah.
And do all that other stuff.
And once you start selling, though, that's going to breed the confidence to keep you selling. And it'll keep the books coming in. And obviously you have taken that to heart, and you definitely work those acres of diamonds in your backyard.
Yeah.
So finally, let's wrap this up with, this is a question I ask of all my guests. What is your definition of what the wealthy travel agent is to you?
Interesting. Okay. To me, the wealthy travel agent is an agent that's successful in the business and in life, and also one that travels like a wealthy traveler. So it's, you know, I see a lot of agents out there that, you know, we don't know, always make a lot of money. It's not like a huge income stream that we have. And so a lot of agents don't travel high end, but they're selling high end, right? So I think it's important to get there yourself, find ways to do fam trips and do things where you're actually experiencing what it is for a wealthy traveler, what they want. So I know what a wealthy traveler wants because I'm picky like a wealthy traveler now. I have the same expectations. I don't have the expectations of a budget traveler. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not based on my budget. I have to learn what they want at their level. So I have to match their level. If I want wealthy clients, I need to be a wealthy travel agent.
Fantastic. That's I think that sums it up quite well there. Well, thank you, Esty. I appreciate you coming on and joining us today for this podcast. I'm your host, Dan Chappelle. You can listen to this episode and others that we have done and will continue to do. There's direct links on my website. You can go to captivate.fm. They're listed on Spotify as well as Apple Podcasts is where I think most of you will see this. Just search for the Wealthy Travel Agent Podcast and we're there. Be sure and rate and review it because the more reviews and more ratings we have, if you like it, the more ratings and reviews we have, the more they'll be promoting it and more exposure we'll get. And this will just continue as a juggernaut because our goal is to help you become more successful selling travel. End of the day, that's it. That's the only reason why any of us are doing this, why I do it, and why folks like Esty, you know, volunteer to come on and share their stories with us. So thank you so much for joining us on the Wealthy Travel Agent Podcast. Now let's get out there and let's go make some money, folks.
Yeah, right now.